Home sharing has become a huge part of how many people travel, a massive global market and concern for hotel owners the world over. But what home sharing often lacks is high-level personal service and consistency in the quality of the offerings. For that, however, there is Hostmaker, the end-to-end home rentals management company. From working with interior designers to photographers to help showcase properties, to creating smart pricing algorithms or providing five-star hotel service, the platform takes care of everything for owners and travelers alike. The company was launched by husband and wife team Nakul Sharma and Deepti Patankar, who left their jobs to launch the platform from their kitchen table back in 2014. Nakul spent a career working for Starwood Hotels and the Intercontinental Hotel Group, where he recognized the potential in the market for people looking for more adventure or flexibility in their travel. Deepti was sold on Nakul's passion and knowledge of the industry and left her career as a lawyer behind, now heading up accounts. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bache. For today's program, Nakul and Deepti joined me at Midori House to talk through the story of Hostmaker, from the incredible growth and investment they've managed to understanding markets to find a good fit in new cities and redefining the idea of home sharing.
Being in the hotel industry, I was kind of watching the trends, looking at what was happening around us. And in 2012, 2013, it was really the early days of home sharing and the sharing economy widely. All of the companies that are household names now, like Uber and Airbnb, were just getting started. And so I was really fascinated about why this whole trend was coming about, what was interesting about it. And so I decided to just try it out for myself. And we, Deepti and I, we put our home up on Airbnb in 2013, just to see what that experience was like as a host, to welcome strangers into your home, and also to leave your home in the hands of guests while you're away, and for them to treat your home like it's theirs. So it was really starting from that curiosity of my own background in hospitality and trying to see what the next wave of travel was bringing.
So getting this off the ground, Nakul, was he spending all his time on this? And where did you sort of get engaged and see it as a business plan that you had to get involved in?
So when we originally thought, or Nakul was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And he was more of like, I want to start my own business in this sort of travel field. The idea was slightly different, actually. So we started off with just trying to solve the problem of key exchanges. So all that we wanted to do is allow people, housekeepers or welcome check-in people or the guests themselves checking themselves in, to pick up keys. And that was a simple logistic problem that Nakul set out to solve. And I think he spent about first 6 months trying to solve that problem. That wasn't working out. But in the meantime, he actually found some customers who were ready to give him the entire home to say, look, we really don't want to bother with anything. Why don't you just manage everything? And when we started getting few of those, that's when I got involved because it was too much work for him. And it was actually really interesting to have control over the entire process rather than just trying to sort keys out. And that's where the business really started to take off.
And we realized that our strength came from our own experience as hosts. Being homeowners ourselves, we realized that other homeowners would trust the fact that we were hosting ourselves. And that coming from a hospitality background, we were putting in that thought to look after the guests. And I think that is really where we started to realize that it was not just about the key exchanges or the cleaning service, but really about a whole end-to-end management experience that we wanted to offer to the homeowners as a matter of trust, looking after their home, but also to guests to improve the experience that they have when they arrive home.
When we're looking at 2013, when you sort of got this off the ground, you already talked about the trend moving towards more of the Airbnb model and perhaps a tough time for the hotel industry as well at the same time. But when you looked at the market and you saw this, I imagine it's not luck. You had the vision that this was going to be the wave of the future. Is that right? Is that where you sort of wanted to take this?
Yeah, I mean, I was super excited about the opportunity, and by no means did I see it as a threat for the hotel industry, actually. I felt that people expect different things out of different experiences and different travel locations. So if you are a business traveler who's looking for a really efficient experience on a business trip, hotels are a great product. And that is something that has been proven over the last two, three, four decades, that almost 80% of hotel travel is targeted towards the business traveler. And somehow that doesn't fit with what the expectations are for a leisure traveler. And that's not surprising. Leisure travel is done in groups, a couple, family, groups of friends, and a 20 square meter room with a bed, a desk, a shower. It just doesn't work for a leisure traveler. And so that for me was the insight that a home is a fantastic product if you start thinking about it in the category of travel accommodation. And that kind of led to the insight that actually this is really fundamental from how our relationship with the home is changing. Just a decade ago, at the home, it was a private space, it was personal, and just in a matter of a few years, we've now started thinking about experiences rather than asset ownership. And I think those macro trends are really influencing how we're traveling, how we're experiencing the world around us. And that was really the bet that I was making, was that something fundamental is changing in how we travel. And I think homes are really complementary to the hotel experience rather than a threat to it. Mm.
Deepti, you talked about the end-to-end property management. When you got started, who were the clients? What were the people that you were working with?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. So when we started, actually the insight that we got was, if you are not in the city and your home is empty, you actually don't have a way to put it on Airbnb or to have guests come in and stay. That's when you need the most help. So we actually found customers who were not currently on the platform, but who wanted to sort of be on the platform, but had no means of doing that. So initially, I remember the time when we were just emailing people on Airbnb saying, hey, listen, we've got this company. Would you like some help? And we didn't get that many responses. But we then found other people. And one of our first customers was this lovely lady who was Knuckles' colleague who moved to
the US for six months.
Yeah. So she was on a secondment with her company for 6 months and she couldn't find a tenant for 6 months. It's a really odd length of time. So that's how we started looking after her home. And really, that was how we, from our friends and from word of mouth, started finding people who were traveling for a bit of time or were moving homes and were looking to sell their homes. There were all of these use cases that started coming along where people had the asset or they had the home, but had no time to look after it. Or it was just they were in the wrong continent. And that's why we came in.
And I understand now you work with designers, award-winning interior designers. You take care of the whole package. And this is quite the offering in a broad range of the sense. There's a huge spectrum of properties that are available. What's the number like now? And what's sort of your approach to growing that portfolio of properties?
Sure. So we do curate our portfolio. We don't accept every single property that comes our way. We definitely look for aesthetic standards, which are meant to be premium, you know, with a lot of sort of comfort points, such as, you know, having a toaster and kettle and iron and all of these things. We now manage more than 2,500 properties, and that number keeps growing every day. We do turn away quite a bit.
And we're in 9 international cities. The idea was always that we wanted to go into gateway destinations. So we started in London and we're now across several European cities like Barcelona, Madrid, Paris, Rome, Florence. And we launched our first international market, Bangkok, just a couple of months ago. So they're really exciting destinations where travelers are coming in to experience those cities. And that's where we're growing.
So you have had steady growth since 2014 when you launched. In 2016, this starts really to get traction. You're mentioned and recognized by the likes of Forbes. You make a few lists. 2017, there's more funding. It's sort of growing. And then 2018, it almost comes full circle because now you're working with Marriott Group again. How does that start?
Yeah, I think full circle is right because it was a really interesting moment back when I was at InterContinental Hotels. This is exactly where I felt that the hotel companies had an opportunity to enter this space because, as I said before, I felt it was very complementary rather than a threat. And that's exactly where we got an opportunity to be part of Marriott's innovation program and shortlisted as one of the very few startups out of their incubation plan. And so we were able to pitch successfully to Marriott that, look, firstly, I'm coming from the same background. I'm one of you. I think like you. I think about hospitality very deeply, about the experience we want to deliver to our travelers. But at the same time, I'm really excited about the future of travel. And this new category of travel accommodation is where those two things are coming together. The leisure experience in homes and the service levels that we're bringing have the assurance of quality that a Marriott traveler can experience in a Marriott hotel. Hmm. And I think that's what was essentially what gave assurance to Marriott that this partnership made sense.
So what does that give you fundamentally, though, having that backing? What does that allow you to give to clients or people you're working with?
Yeah, I think it's exciting in so many different ways. So when we started off, we very much wanted to access the 100 million loyalty members that Marriott has, visiting its website, visiting its loyalty programs. And we were able to present this option of staying in our homes to those loyalty members. And Marriott's loyalty members, for the first time ever, could be earning loyalty points in our homes. That was unique. And that almost doubled, tripled the traffic that we were getting on our website because people were curious about who Hostmaker is. So that was fantastic for us to be in the global spotlight. Secondly, I think it raised our game as well because we were able to understand the expectations of Marriott's travelers, what they would expect in premium hotels. Those were the expectations that they were coming to us with. And of course, there's a balance between the experience in a home and the experience in a hotel. But at the same time, we were able to raise our game in order to deliver to the Marriott travelers and meet their expectations. So it helped us to learn from a 100-year-old hospitality company. And I believe that they learned from a 4-year-old startup of how we're leading and changing the game in hospitality experience in homes. So I think it's been a fantastic experience. Mm.
I imagine you couldn't have envisioned what this would be like when you started out or what the company would look like today. But Deepti, how's the journey been for you? And has this been a fulfilling, exciting thing for you professionally?
Yeah, I think, when we first started, Nakul came to me and he was like, look, it's going to be 18 months of experiment. Like, we're going to try it. And if it doesn't work out, I promise I'll find a job and I'm going to give you some time off. I said, okay, fine, because all our life savings are going into this, so I'm going to hold you to this 18-month deadline. And then when we hit the first 18 months, we actually raised a VC round, pre-Series A, as we call it. And then another 12 months later, we raised another Series A round. So every time that moment of reckoning has come, something good has happened. So we've continued our journey, and it's growing, and it's exciting. Personally, for me, I'm a lawyer. I'm very conservative by nature, so working in a startup has been a huge learning in terms of how do you innovate, how do you take action without having all the information, and how do you remain optimistic about the future? Because lawyers are very pessimistic people. We think of what's going to go wrong. And that's something I had to leave behind, which I think was good for me.
Hmm. Nakul, you've had this steady success and you found the right market. And I think growth has been quite exciting and moving into different cities, 9 different cities now. But what's the journey been like moving from working your way up within a company, within a big established corporation and starting out on your own?
It's a completely different world. I'd never run a business before. No one in my family's ever run a business before. So there's just been such a steep learning curve in how do you lead. It starts from me. And we are now almost 400 team members across 9 different markets. And that was a completely new experience. So every year, it feels like a new organization. It feels super exciting to be in this journey where you're exposed to so many facets of a business that in a much larger organization, you're contained to a department, to a role where you're influencing perhaps a few functional divisions, or you're influencing a group of people that may be experts in a particular competence. Whereas here, I'm dabbling in so many different things that I'm certainly not an expert in. I'm bringing in experts who are much smarter than me, who are far more committed to the business and to the purpose than perhaps maybe in a larger organization you find yourself becoming a cog in the wheel. And that's something that I hear all the time in the people who are interviewing with us, that they really want to make an impact. and feel the impact of the work they're doing. And that's an opportunity that I think we're able to offer every single day. And that keeps me going. That really excites me.
If we look at the market 5 years ago and to now and where the company has come to, has that changed a lot in the demand for hospitality and what people are looking for? Is it just now still finding the right opportunities for business, or has the landscape totally changed?
It's only growing. It's only becoming larger. I think it's now established as a category. So 5 years ago, when we were finding our first customers, we still had to explain who Airbnb was, what was home sharing, why should I let my home out to strangers who I know nothing about. But I think this is now almost second nature. Airbnb has become a verb like Google. And so I think that we've certainly become more confident that this is now a space that will only develop. It will mature. It will grow in different directions, but it's here to stay. And so we're certainly building our footprint in this space.
Deepti, if I think about my partner's a lawyer as well, and you know, a big company would have many, many lawyers working across different files. And so you're working collaboratively, you're working with lots of different people. But what's it like to have people now working under you and across different levels of expertise? You have all kinds of different people in different cities now. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, again, that has been a complete like learning opportunity for me. It's been quite interesting how I had to adapt from being like a collaborative team member across a big deal team to sort of being the person that everybody looks up to. And initially, I did find myself in a bit of trouble with the team members, because I was just like, okay, we have to do it like this, and this is how we're going to do it, and we have to work all night long to achieve this, because that's how high-powered London lawyers work. And I was like, okay, that actually doesn't work when you have people who are new, they are from different backgrounds, they may not understand the intensity with which, you know, I may want to work. So I had to really adapt my style. And now I think I definitely have become better at being more clear about what is it that I'm looking for. I've gotten better at hiring. So that was another thing I never had to do. I never had to hire anyone when I was at the law firm. Now I've hired like God knows how many people. So I've become much better at that. And that was, again, big learning for me.
So as far as clients and other opportunities and collaborations, what else is happening these days on the account side for you?
Yeah, so we have a few big institutional clients now that we're looking at. We have a partnership that we announced with BNP Paribas that is quite interesting. It's across four different markets. Their clients are quite different, big institutions. A lot of them, again, very skeptical about this home sharing business. So it's very interesting for me to, again, go out there and pitch the concept and the idea, but this time backed with numbers because we have data to support us. Mm. It's a very different approach, very professional, very data-driven. And that's where I think 2019 will be very interesting for us.
Nicole, I asked you about the difference between working for yourself and working for a big company, but you're working alongside a big company now, and perhaps some of your future clients will be bigger as well. But this idea always comes up on the show about companies needing their own entrepreneurial spirit and people to think a little bit outside the box as well. Do you come up against that? Does that make sense when you're, again, talking to the people that you used to work with or work under?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, even now as we're growing, we're now in year 5 of the company. It's something that you constantly have to be conscious about developing in the organization. So just because we're small and just because we're 5 years old doesn't mean that every single person in the company is thinking with an innovative mindset by default. I think it's something that we have to keep working hard at. And that's something that larger organizations also do very well. I think the point is that you can't become complacent. You can't rest on your laurels. And so if you're constantly self-questioning and listening to your customer, trying to understand how we can serve them better, how we can preempt what they're asking for, we can be innovative. And a large company can be innovative that way too. And if we don't do those things, the decline is swift as well.
I'm curious about what's on your plate right now and what you're excited about, because it seems like there'll be more steps into the international market, into other territories. Is that sort of what your focus is these days?
Yeah, so we're constantly evaluating new markets. Where is the opportunity? And at the same time, we're looking at our existing markets and saying, what are the opportunities coming up in our existing market? So there's always a balance between go deeper and win and attain leadership in our existing markets or establish new markets. And that's something that we're constantly evaluating. Mm. What we're excited about in 2019 is that having now taken our first step into Bangkok as our first non-European market, it's starting to give us confidence that the things that appeal to European customers, we can adapt that business model and approach Asian customers in a similar way. So 2019 is very much going to be about learning and understanding what is it that we need to tweak as we go beyond our existing horizons. Mm. So I think that's what I'm excited about.
Deepti, you can stop me here if I get too personal, but I'm just curious about what your relationship has been like professionally, because a lot of people will say it might be a bit tricky or a bit dangerous in a relationship to go into a business head on together. Yeah. What's your professional relationship like? And does work stop when you go home?
No, it doesn't really, to be honest. But it's a good question. And I would love to answer that, because when we started working together, it was actually really hard. And we couldn't strike the right balance to begin with. And then I got some brilliant advice from one of our common friends. They are also a founder couple who are doing really well for themselves. They're back in India now. And their advice really helped us find our sort of sweet spot. And I would love to pass on that advice to people. And I think it's about just sort of trusting each other and not really making any assumptions and just having that trust that, you know, whatever the other person is saying, you believe that they are not going to let you down. And they're doing that for the benefit of the company and for each other as well. But yeah, professionally, I think we have a good relationship, I would like to say. I'm one of the few people who really stands up to Nakul.
You're allowed to?
I'm allowed to. No, but I have no problems challenging him. And then when we come home, we don't really talk about the challenges.
Yeah.
We may end up brainstorming ideas and discussing new things that we want to do, the more happy, exciting parts.
Yeah.
But if we've had a fight in the office because we don't agree on how much to, you know, spend on marketing, then we won't come and talk about that because that we just keep in the office.
That must be exciting, though, at the same time, because you're both highly trained at the top of your game as well. And to work with each other in that professional capacity, it must be quite rewarding, though, at the same time.
Yeah, I think I definitely have learned a lot from Nakul. He had a head start when it comes to how business is run. I know how to draft a contract. That's what I knew 4 years ago. I didn't know how payroll works or how businesses work, what SEO is. To be honest, I didn't even know who Peter Thiel was. I had no idea what a startup does. But for me, I've learned a lot just watching Nakul operate, how to like lead people and, you know, how to think strategically. So that was great fun. And then, you know, even if I make mistakes, then I don't really get reprimanded that badly because I know that, you know, he'll teach me. Whereas if I was somewhere else, that would be a bit scary, I would think.
Nakul, do you cherish your role as a leader?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoy it. I think there are moments where you have to dig deep. And as I said before, I think the learning curve is steep in managing an organization that has so many fantastic, committed team members across so many different languages and markets. I think that's just so rewarding. And I always feel humbled that there are so many people who actually want to come and work for Hostmaker and are excited about our prospects in the future. That's very humbling and very exciting for me.
Are you still learning a lot about yourself as a leader?
All the time, yeah. All the time. And I think it's such an emotional roller coaster being in a startup. You feel all emotions within the same day. It's like the weather in London.
Mm. Mm.
And I think it's fantastic. Like your self-awareness just gets to another level.
Mm. When you're thinking about the road ahead for the company and the trends and the markets you want to move into, Do you look outside of the brand at all? I mean, obviously, there's a conversation there with Marriott and your other partners, but I think back to where you started at Airbnb. Do you look at what others are doing in the space and what's sort of that relationship like?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, we're trying to learn and soak up from companies in any space, not just in the travel industry. We're trying to stay ahead of the game in our category, and there are others who've come before us. Airbnb, for instance, is a close neighbor. And so if they've solved problems before that we're only just beginning to solve, we're always looking to understand how they would have done it 4 years ago or 5 years ago, or how Booking.com might have done it, or
even Amazon, actually.
Amazon.
Big logistics business.
Exactly. So there's lots of things that we can learn from the more established, successful companies. And we're always trying to soak that up.
You mentioned Amazon there. And in the space of logistics, I know there's a number of companies looking at how they can solve problems and do that on a smaller scale. Do you feel you're the same in sort of that travel sector and that hospitality sector because of your smaller size? You're able to do things a little bit differently or solve problems that perhaps a bigger company couldn't?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a combination of not having that legacy that holds you back, and you have that inertia of perhaps being on an old stack of technology which doesn't allow you to integrate with new generation technology. And also the fact that we can make decisions and act on them quickly. So the leadership team gets around today, and by Monday, we could start acting on decisions. Mm-hmm. And in a larger organization, that's not always possible because you've got to align people. People are in different time zones. And then that requires organization-wide communication. So those are certainly challenges that a larger organization has, which certainly at our size, we don't.
What's it like to work at Hostmaker?
I think something that I encourage is constantly to learn and to reflect and to be humble about our successes. That it's just super exciting, the opportunity that we have. It's what I've shared with the teams is that at a Series B round of funding across Europe, there are about 15 or 20 companies from the same cohort in 2014 that have managed to reach the stage that we have. And to be in that 1% of companies is just a privilege. You know, starting a company is really high risk. 99% of startups fail in their first year. 95% fail even after year three. So for us to have got past those milestones means that we've been doing something right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something to take confidence from, but also be humble that we're always facing new challenges and that we're always learning.
Deepti, what's your idea of growth for the brand, for the company?
Yeah, so I was actually quite insistent about our vision statement when we were drafting that. We were trying to put all these qualifiers in, and I was like, we have to unlock the potential of every home in the world, right? Every single home in the world can someday be managed by Hostmaker. What that does is gives people the freedom to do what they want to do with that time and money that we free up because we're looking after their home, and that they don't have to worry about their home wherever they are in the world. So I think there is a long way for us to go in terms of the people we need to touch and the countries we have to go to. But yeah, I have definitely big growth ambitions for Hostmaker. Oh,
that's exciting to hear. Do you guys go on holiday?
Yes.
Yes, yes, you do.
What does that look like?
actually, it's getting better and better, I think.
Yeah, it is getting better.
So until the third year, yeah, certainly I would say one day blurred into another as we were like looking after the business. But I think in the last 12 months or so, we've now got fantastic teams around us who we can trust, and they're running the business while we're able to take a few weeks off in the year.
Yeah.
And our last holiday was in Goa over Christmas time, and we spent that time with our families, and it was actually quite relaxing.
Yeah, I think we've discovered that the secret is some activity. So Nakul played a lot of tennis with my brother, and that kept him off the phone, which is really important. So next is skiing, hopefully. So again, we can't look at our phones when we are skiing. So
try to stay away from work, I guess.
Yes. And,
is that hard to do some days?
Yeah.
Can be, yes.
Can be.
Can be.
I mean, it's just because we actually like working.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's very good to hear. Can I ask, and in so much as you can reveal or want to, what markets might you be looking at next? Where can we see the platform crop up next?
I mean, there's several markets on the roadmap. So there's European capitals, Asian capitals. We've looked at the Middle East as well as the US. So we can't share too much right now, but there's several markets on the horizon.
Hopefully where the sun shines more often than here.
That's all the time we have on today's show. Thank you very much to Nakul Sharma and Deepti Patankar for sharing the story of Hostmaker. Thanks as well to our researcher, Mariana Lagrasta, and to studio manager, Alex Portfelix. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.